This morning, we also have, as a guest speaker, we're very happy to have Dennis and Christina Reed. A couple of years ago, we had the privilege of sending a missions team, including Indy actually came with us and got to know Ethan, right? Ethan really well bonded with Christina and Dennis's youngest. But we're very excited to have them come and share from the Word of God, and particularly Dennis is going to share some of his experiences as well as what God has been doing overseas in Asia. So would you give him a warm welcome?
All right. Good morning. We are so happy to be here with you guys today. And I just want to start off by saying we want to extend our sincere thanks for your partnership in bringing the gospel to the Noom and the Dai people. Your prayers, your generous support, your words of encouragement, people from your church coming to Asia to where we are has meant so much to us in this ministry. Just a huge blessing and encouragement to me, my family, and to others that we work with in Asia. I can't really express how much it's meant to us. And I just want to say that thank you for your faithfulness to us, but I want to thank you more for your faithfulness to the Lord and obeying His great commission, because God is using us together for His work here and all over the world. So thank you for that. Here's my family. My wife Christina is right there. She has the privilege of working at an international school as a college advisor. She loves her job. She loves working with students and helping launch them out, all of them internationally, both Vietnamese, Korean, Japanese, kids from all over the world, and American kids as well. And she would love to tell you more about that after the service. And our oldest son, Stephen, who's 13 and now has passed up my wife in height. Andrew is 11 and he's trying hard. JJ is on my shoulders. He's almost 8, and he keeps us really busy. And Indy's buddy Ethan is 5, and he'll be starting kindergarten next year. So our boys aren't here today. They have a cousin sleepover when we're back, and this was the weekend the only weekend that it worked out for all the kids. So they're hanging out with all their cousins. Destroying my brother in Nerf guns.
Maybe this is kind of going in now. Do you want me to use this? Sure. Does that work?
Yes.
Is that okay right there?
Yes.
All right. Cool. So I know that you guys as a church are familiar with OMF, started over 150 years ago by Hudson Taylor. Used to be called China Inland Mission, now we're called OMF International. We're a multinational, interdenominational group of people committed to serving East Asians and bringing the gospel in all its fullness to East Asians in their homelands and across the globe. I'm working in the Vietnam field, or my wife and I are working in the Vietnam field, and our vision in Vietnam is to see Vietnam transformed through indigenous biblical movements of reproducing communities of believers in every segment of society. And we want to see people obeying Jesus in His great commission. So my role in that is church planting. And the way I do that is through discipleship and coaching. We're working with two of the least reached groups called the Noom and the Dai people. And in China, these people are called the Zhuang people. And so they live right on the border with China. I know many of you were never going to have the opportunity to meet Noom and Dai people. Many of you, maybe wonder, what is it like in a Noom and Dai village? So this morning, I actually have a short video with some traditional Noom and Dai music that a coworker made. I actually didn't know he was making the video. And the purpose of this trip was, one, to see if we can get into a village, but two, was to bring a New Testament in a similar minority language to see if they can understand this. So please enjoy this.
Oh,
Through stories, and so this was an opportunity to go and to see if I could get into their village, if we would have problems with the police, which we didn't, thank the Lord. We did have an excuse for me to be there. I happened to sell 500 kilos of oranges for them on the streets, and my boys in Vietnam, literally out of the back of my van at one point, to the amusement of many Vietnamese. So we were up there looking at the oranges as well. So if we go to the next slide. Okay. So this morning, we're going to look at an obscure passage in Jeremiah. But I believe that this text will bring hope and light into any situation. I also believe it will convict us to consider our priorities. Now, Jeremiah, let me turn there as well. I like the book of Jeremiah. I think there's a lot in there that brings a lot of encouragement, a lot of challenge to how we live, a lot of reminders. But let me just start off this morning with a word of prayer. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Lord, we thank you for using Jeremiah. Lord, we thank you that you have recorded his words. And Lord, that we could see your heart. We could see an image of ourselves in the people of Israel, Lord. And Father, I pray that as we read your word, Lord, that you would just help us to focus on these verses here. And Lord, that you would change us by the power of your Spirit. So Lord, we ask that you would send conviction, you would send encouragement. And Lord, that we would leave today contemplating your word, contemplating our lives, and the impact that you want to have in us and through our community. In Jesus' name. So, for those of you who aren't necessarily that familiar with the book of Jeremiah, basically, there's a big problem. Judah's in trouble. Babylon is coming. God is going to use another nation to judge Judah. And Jeremiah is bringing God's message, while false prophets are
giving false messages. So Jeremiah is saying, Babylon's coming, repent. You know, we're in for it. And false prophets are saying, don't worry. You know, they're giving all these false encouragements. And I think at one point God says, you know, that the people just love to hear the false prophets. It just tickles their ears. But God is reminding the people that they have broken the covenant. And this covenant actually is the covenant that they swore into, not necessarily them, but their ancestors swore into at Mount Sinai. And God says, you have broken my covenant. And what they deserve for this actually is death. But I think this morning as we I think always as we read the Old Testament or even the New Testament for that matter, let's not separate ourselves too far. In Romans, we're reminded that the wages of sin are death. Touch on that a little bit more in a minute. But Jeremiah, at this point, is really struggling with the job that God has given him. He actually, is complaining to the Lord a little bit, which I have done, I'm sure most of us have done at some point. He's feeling down and alone, but God tells him not to marry. And God even tells him to separate himself a little bit more from people, not attending certain social events. Jeremiah, he has the challenge to proclaim to the people a very difficult message. Let me just read for you in verse 16, or chapter 16, verses 12 and 13. And so this is what God is telling him. He says, you shall say to them, because your fathers have forsaken me, declares the Lord, and have gone after other gods and have served and worshipped them, and have forsaken me and not kept my law, and because you have done what is worse than your fathers, for behold, every one of you follows his stubborn evil will, refusing to listen to me. Therefore, I will hurl you out of this land and into a land that neither you nor your fathers have known. And there you shall serve other gods day and night, for I will show you no favor. So Judah, just the land is just littered with idolatry. And God he's going to do something about that. And he's going to do it in a very strange way by using another nation to judge them. And God even tells him, you want idols, you're going to have idols day and night. So imagine being Jeremiah. Imagine having to proclaim that message in your neighborhood, in your office environment, or wherever. But I think at this point, it's easy to take a totally external perspective on this, to shake our heads. Man, poor old Israel. Those guys, they polluted themselves with idols. You know, they ignored God's commands. But I think this is a good time for us just to stop and to say, what about the church today? What about the communities that we're a part of? And even as I was preparing this, you know, the next question that comes to my Western programmed brain is, what about you individually? But actually, I don't really want to pose that question. Well, I want to stop at what about the churches and communities that we're a part of, or the church that we're a part of in the larger church today. Because I think, you know, there's three reasons I don't want to pose the question, what about getting us to think about us ourselves individually, is because one, it's not easy always to see the log in our own eye. It's easy to think, oh, yeah, I'm doing okay, you know. I think B, it's easy for us to not care about anything beyond ourselves. I'm good. Yeah, that guy's a wreck, but I'm good. And C,
You know, interestingly, God didn't make a distinction in Judah. He didn't separate those who loved him and wanting to follow him and say, okay, you guys over here, you guys could stay in Jerusalem. I'm not going to punish you, but everybody else is going to go. No, everybody went to Babylon. Everybody was affected. And I think that's just true in the church as well. Everybody is affected by sin, even not our own sin. I'm sure we all have situations where somebody else's sin or even another situation that wasn't necessarily we are a part of, but it affects us. I can think of several situations our family's been affected by, things that weren't necessarily a part of us. So we'll leave it at that. What about the larger church today, and what about your community here? Our text this morning, I think, is a beautiful, beautiful passage in the midst of a very dark time in Jeremiah's life and in Judah's history. It's a prayer by Jeremiah, followed by a response from God. And so I have it up here on the screen, but I just would like to read it this morning. It's only three verses. Jeremiah prays, O Lord, my strength and my stronghold, my refuge in day of trouble. To you shall the nations come from the ends of the earth and say, our fathers have inherited nothing but lies, worthless things in which there is no profit. Can man make for himself gods? Such are not gods. Therefore, behold, I will make them know. This once I will make them know my power and my might, and they shall know that my name is the Lord. I tell you, this text brings me encouragement as I share the gospel in Vietnam. Brings me encouragement that the Lord sees the situation and the Lord is going to be active in working in the people's life there. Brings me encouragement to hear Jeremiah pray out to God in faith and in hope. I think as we look at this in verses 19 and 20 in Jeremiah's prayer, the first thing that we can see is Jeremiah remembers who he trusts in when he calls out, my strength and my stronghold, my refuge in the day of trouble. Jeremiah knows where he finds his strength. As we think about that, in the dark times in our life where we maybe don't even understand what's going on, what God is doing, where do we find our strength? In ourselves? In some external activity? Or do we find our strength in the Lord? Where do we find our refuge? I think is another challenging question. To be honest, things I, my wife, I'm sure many of you as well, have all struggled with. Do we find our refuge in something outside of God? In, you know, escape in a TV series or movies, in TV, media? Do we find our refuge, escape in food or alcohol or something else that calms us down? Or when we have these dark times, do we find our refuge in the Lord? Jeremiah knows exactly where he's going to find his refuge for the hard days that are coming. And I think it's important that in the easy days, we find our refuge in the Lord, so that when the hard days come, it's second nature. I think one cool thing about this prayer, I think, and this is me thinking about it. This isn't like doesn't say directly, but I think Jeremiah in here has in mind the promise that God made to Abraham. He sees everyone, even Gentiles, turning to the Lord. Jeremiah prays, he says, to you the nation shall come from the ends of the earth and say, our fathers have inherited nothing but lies, worthless things in which there is no profit. I think Jeremiah has in mind that God is going to bless all nations. And I think it's amazing that Jeremiah would even see Gentiles turning to the Lord. But that's what he sees. In fact, I think one cool thing about this prayer is that Jeremiah looks at the situation. Babylon is coming. The people who should be repenting are not. They're listening to false prophets. They don't care. They don't. You know, people are just treating Jeremiah like he's, you know, just a worthless individual, just babbling off things that don't matter. But Jeremiah looks at the situation, and from where he's standing in the midst of the darkness, knowing what's going to happen, he looks in hope to the future, and Jeremiah trusts that things are going to be exactly the opposite. That the Gentiles who are coming to bring judgment on them, and it's not going to be pleasant, but he trusts that they are going to be the same people that are turning to the Lord in the future, saying that these idols are worthless. And I think I'm challenged by that. As I look to see the situation with the Noam and the Dai people, you know, 2.5 million people, maybe 500 believers, very resistant to the gospel. Are they going to trust the Lord? We have to go by faith, not by sight. We have to trust that this is the Lord's work and that he's going to be involved. So you saw the video. That was one house we were in. We went over to another house, actually of the shaman. So he used to be a shaman, but now he trusts the Lord. So we went over and saw his house, and his sons don't believe in God. And there was a birthday party for one of his sons, so several other guys were there. And I was sitting down, and there was this guy, Eric, who was sitting next to me. Actually, can we go to the next slide? Yeah, so Eric was sitting right next to me, this Eric. And Eric was telling me about his life, and, you know, he's a young 20-something-year-old guy. He's junior high education and is, you know, gone to work, you know, done some odd jobs. But, you know, is mostly kind of hanging out and probably drinking entirely too much. And I talked to him, and I said, you know, because I know his dad. And I said, hey, Eric, your dad follows Jesus. Do you follow Jesus? And he said, no, I don't follow Jesus. I know my dad follows Jesus, and his stepmom follows Jesus, and his half sisters follow Jesus. And he says, that's okay. But you know, my mom died. His mom died a few years back, and you know, I need to take care of her spirit. And if, you know, I follow Jesus, you don't do that. You don't have altars. And I love my mom, and I want to care for her. And so I can't follow Jesus. And, you know, as I look at Eric when he's telling me this, his sincerity, I admire it. And his love for his mom, I admire it. But ultimately, you know, the truth is Eric has bought into a lie. He doesn't, what he believes isn't the truth. He's been deceived. And here we see that Jeremiah knows that there is one true God. But yet Eric doesn't realize that. He doesn't know that. He doesn't believe that. And so we're praying for Eric and for other Newman Thai people to know the truth that Jeremiah proclaims. We're praying for them. We're praying for the day to see them to forsake their idols, like Eric's dad and like a few other men in that village, and to turn away from that and to trust the Lord. Well, I think one cool thing here in this prayer is that the Lord responds to Jeremiah's prayer. The Lord says, "Therefore, behold, I will make them know this once. I will make them know my power and my might, and they shall know that my name is the Lord." They will know his power and his might. Now, my wife and I, we became Christians in our early 20s, so I'm, I guess, mid-20s maybe for me, and I'm 40 now. You know, we don't necessarily come from a Pentecostal background. Our church is just a non-denominational. Our sending church is non-denominational. But as I've been in Asia, I see that the Lord is making his name known through powerful encounters, or in the mission realm called power encounters. Just like Bill shared this morning, people going, "I can't hear," and people praying for them and God healing them instantly. Amazing. In Vietnam, almost every testimony I hear about how somebody came to follow Jesus involves a healing, a demon being cast out, or some other miraculous interaction that this person has had with the Lord. And it, to be honest, and sometimes it's even stretching my faith. But this is what the Lord is doing. He is making his name known through his power and his might. And as people know the power and might of the Lord, they will know his name. And another, you know, interesting thing for me, you know, in the mission sort of world, they say there's three types of cultures. There's guilt and innocence, shame and honor, and fear and power. And in the States, most of us ride high on the guilt, innocence. I'm right, you're wrong. You know, how we share the gospel. All three are also represented in the Bible. In the Bible, once I became aware of these three, I start seeing shame and honor is actually probably the biggest way that the biggest cultural sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? Probably the strongest pattern in the Bible. Yes, yeah, that'll work. But that, you know, that when someone's name is known, that is a huge indicator that they're talking about shame and honor cultures. And so God says to these people that they will know my name. They will call out to me. They will give the Lord honor. I think it's awesome. And that's what we want. We want Mongolians. We want reindeer herders. We want Newman Thai farmers. We want people everywhere. We want people in this neighborhood to know the power and the might of the Lord. And we want them to know his name. We want them to be giving him the glory and to worshiping him. And so as we close today, I just want us to take a moment to consider these three questions. I think we have them on the next slide. Where do we find our strength? I think is the first question. Because the Lord's work is not easy. We all know that. So where are we going to find our strength? Life isn't easy, for that matter. Where are we going to find our strength? Number two, are we hoping for others, even our enemies, to forsake idols and to turn to God? And number three, will we ask God to use us to display his power and to glorify his name? In other words, are we willing to put ourselves out on the line to pray for people, like Bill demonstrated this morning, to ask somebody, hey, can I pray that God would heal you? Can I pray for you? Are we willing to ask God to use us to display his power and to glorify his name? I think these are easy things to give quick answers to, but they're actually really difficult to answer them with how we live our life. So this morning, as we close, I just encourage you to jot these down, to think about them, to really, I think one of the best ways that you can go through these questions is in your small group or as a family or, in coffee with a few other people, to go through these questions and to pray for each other and hold each other accountable. Let me pray for you. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we want you to be our strength and our stronghold, our refuge. Lord, we want to see people we know, people we don't like, trusting you, Lord. Lord, we want your name lifted up. Lord, we want to see your name glorified. And Lord, you know each of our hearts. Lord, you know we often fail. But Lord, I pray that we would press on. Lord, that we would continue to seek you, to live your way, to repent, and to again to trust you and walk with you. So Lord, continue to use us or start using us, Lord, if we're not being used by you. And Lord, we just thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the promises. We thank you that you're with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.